Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Look, I think the best phrase is simple. It ain't working.
The Mark Reardon Show.
All of this woke world that we're living in right now is not working.
Why are you guys bullying me?
Mark Reardon.
See, presidents can't do much.
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Yeah, and it's a very, very lonely, lonely Mark Reardon Show this afternoon. Ethan Hannaford is sticking with me. Everyone else has jumped ship, though, here on Veterans Day, which is a holiday. It's an Odyssey holiday, Ethan. And, you know, you and I decided that the mission that we have here on the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk is too important to take the day off, even though it's like a beautiful day, right?
Yeah, who do these people think that they are, thinking they can take a holiday off?
Gosh. Truth be told, you know, 2 weeks ago I went to Houston, Texas to visit my new grandson, and I came up with this master plan with Trisha, one of our bosses. I said, look, how about if I don't take off Veterans Day, I'll work on Veterans Day with Ethan, because I wanted to work with you, and we switched that day off. So that's what happened here. But we don't even have traffic reports. Sue's going to enjoy the day off. Fred's going to enjoy the day off. I saw everyone yesterday. We had a great time at the Veterans Day Parade in Florissant. What a beautiful weather. Beautiful weather. We had a good turnout there. Lots of people showing up, and we're definitely going to highlight a lot of things relating to Veterans Day today.
Much better weather yesterday than it was on Saturday, I can
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Yesterday and today are just, you know, picture perfect.
Amazing.
There's no doubt about that. One thing, you know, on Veterans Day, I noticed a couple of things, and we'll get into a lot of these things today, but I wanted to share a little concern that I have. I watched Saturday Night Live over the weekend. I have a bunch of audio from some people who are a little unhinged in the aftermath of the election. As I indicated, we got a bunch of stuff here to focus on Veterans Day, and we'll get to that here in a second. But this was Jimmy Fallon's tweet from earlier this afternoon. Now, we saw Jimmy Kimmel crying last week. We saw, you know, what's his name on CBS, Stephen Colbert. He's just doing his Stephen Colbert thing. Look, his audience is a bunch of woke.
Nothing, you know, new with him.
No, nothing. But Jimmy Fallon said this. I thought this was interesting. We're back with an all-new show this week, or all new shows this week, and tonight's audience is made up entirely of veterans, active military, and their families and friends. Thank you for your service. Hashtag Fallon tonight, hashtag Veterans Day. Which, by the way, first of all, let me say to Jimmy Fallon, that's awesome. That's amazing that you're doing that. But here's my my word of caution was, whoa, Jimmy, slow down and be careful here. You're going to have a studio full of Nazi Trump supporters. I mean, honestly, think about it. I don't know. So he was off last week, I'm assuming, because he says we're back with new shows.
Right.
How do you address the election with a bunch of military families in the audience without potentially doing harm to that audience? I thought that that might be an interesting moment. Did you watch Saturday Night Live over the weekend?
I watched a very small clip of Bill Burr's opening monologue where he was talking specifically about the election. That's all that I heard from
Okay, so, you know, it was interesting. Let me kind of get into this a little bit because I was curious. And, you know, I'd heard some reaction. I had read some things on Twitter. I'm thinking, is Saturday Night Live going to try to be funny? Now, I had some hope because Bill Burr was the host. He's one of my favorite comedians. I think he's very funny. I've seen him a couple of times live here in St. Louis. So the hope that I had for maybe kind of cutting into some of the nonsense was because I know Bill Burr. So they did their cold open. The cold open is different than when the, you know, the host of the show comes out and does the monologue after the cold open. The cold open was extremely weak from a variety of perspectives. They basically, and it's not even worth playing audio for those of you who missed it, it's basically a bit where you have the current cast members up there saying, hey, we supported you all along. And they're trying to joke around about not being on the hit list because I guess they genuinely believe that Trump and the new administration, which by the way is taking shape in a very interesting way, is going to line them up for executions. I have no idea. So they did that opening bit and it wasn't funny. And here's the other thing that's very disappointing. I'm very curious to see Sue's reaction to this if she saw it. This has been the funniest in the last 2 months that SNL's been in a long, 100%. Long time, because they had the former cast members and Maya Rudolph and Dana Carvey and then Jim Gaffigan coming back. And he wasn't even a cast member, I don't think, at SNL, you know, playing Tim Walz. I'm desperately going to miss that. But they do this opening bit and they have Dana Carvey come out and he's playing Elon Musk. And there was nothing about it that was funny at all, like nothing funny. So I thought, Dana Carvey, you just had this amazing comeback. Not that he's completely faded away from the scene, but he did such a great job of playing Biden. And now they're going to take that off the table and have him playing Elon Musk in a very non-funny way. But what happened was, this was interesting. Bill Burr comes out, and I'm going to play you how he started his set, because I'm looking for fireworks, right? And this is how it started the other night.
Nice to be here on such a fun week. I know. I don't want to hear it. I don't watch politics. So we're going to keep it light. All right? There we go. All right. Well,
it kind of starts here.
Over the flu, which is fantastic. You know what I mean? Had it last month. Whenever you have
now,
the
I can
flu,
play like, more of this, but like, there's nothing to this bit whatsoever. And what happens is, this is my sense with Bill Burr. And, you know, look, as a host, you got to sometimes feel what's working and what's not working. I think that Bill Burr, this is my philosophy. Maybe someone will ask him this. I think what happened is, he thought, you know what, I'm going to avoid all this stuff because we're going to try to lighten the mood and, you know, just do something funny. We're going to talk about the flu and COVID. It didn't work. So at a certain point, about 3 minutes into this, he pivots. Now, why did he pivot? Well, why didn't he just start with this stuff to begin with? So you hear the pivot here.
My problem is, I didn't get the flu shot. You know, I'm old school. I kind of still do the vaccine thing, you know? I know some people like it, some people don't, you know? I don't know. It's a weird thing, though. If you get it, what do? You side.
Not working, right? It's not working. It's not funny, but listen.
You know, if you don't, then you're aligned with people who don't wear shoes on an airplane. All right, let's get to what you all want to talk about.
Here we go.
All right, ladies, you're 0-2 against this guy.
Yeah, so did you hear what he said? He said, ladies, Lair, hold on here.
Let's get to what you all want to talk about. All right, ladies, you're 0-2 against this guy.
Wait, why wait 3 minutes in? So then he finally starts on the election stuff.
0-2. All right, but you learn more from your losses than your wins. So let's get into the game tape. All right, ladies, enough with the pantsuit. Okay, it's not working. Stop trying to have respect for yourselves. You don't win the office, like, on policy, you know? You gotta whore it up a little.
So then he kinda is a little funny here.
I'm not saying go full Hooters, but find the happy medium between Applebee's and your dad didn't stick around. Yeah. All right.
So Ethan, you're laughing here. The audience is laughing.
Okay, and I know, listen, I know a lot of ugly women, feminists, I mean, don't want to hear this message. But just tease them a little bit. Make a farmer feel like he's got a shot.
You know, Bill Burr really missed it. I think that was funny stuff, right? But he had the opportunity to go in there with guns a-blazing, and I think he chickened out at first. Now, look, the audience, compare, depending on what your ear is going to tell you, if you've listened to the opening and then you listen to when he really pivoted, the laughter is dramatically different. No one was laughing in the first part of that.
Oh, 100%. And that's why I said, you know, earlier when we were discussing this, I said, yeah, I saw the monologue, and I thought it was hilarious, and you were like, did we watch the
same
thing?
Because the clips.
And I watched the specific part talking about the election, which was really funny. And I think that, like you said, his thought process was, let's see if we can
keep
off election, and it totally crashed and burned.
Producer emeritus David Klein sent me the clip this afternoon, and I hit it, and the same thing happened. They started it, it was Bill Burr's Instagram, let's get into what you guys are here about, but he didn't include the first 2 minutes. But that was just kind of an interesting observation. Now, The nonsense that's been going on in the aftermath of the election kind of continues. And one of the themes here this afternoon will be maybe it's one of the themes of the show, period. The inability to accept what happened and the lack of the understanding of the media complicity. I think that's really an important part. And I'm going to get to all of that here as we move on down the next few hours. Let me kind of explain what's coming up here, though. Mark Sundlov is coming up. He is the director of the Soldiers Memorial right here about 100 yards from where we're sitting right now. Ethan, we're going to talk about some stuff related to Veterans Day. My friend Chris Smith, I've shared Chris's story many, many times before. He was shot in the head 3 years ago, the night before Thanksgiving. The woman that he was with was killed. His story was featured nationally in an episode of 48 Hours a week ago. He is in Chicago right now, or on his way to Chicago, for a stem cell treatment to hopefully restore the use of his legs, and he's going to give us some details on that. We have Mike Morrow, who's the mayor of Grafton and is very close with Sue Thomas. Sue will not be here today. She loves Mayor Mike, and Mayor Mike is putting this amazing D-Day National Memorial Military Ascent together in Grafton, which is going to be mind-blowing. I mean, this thing is going to be such a great destination for the entire planet to come and visit here in St. Louis and Grafton. I'm so excited about it. When I first heard about this, I couldn't believe how cool it was. And you're going to hear more about it here this afternoon. We got Cusimano. Hey, how about the sports weekend, Ethan?
Loaded.
Are you kidding me?
Loaded.
You know, I fell asleep last night during the Lions game, and I missed their comeback. Oh. But I heard that was pretty good, too.
It was phenomenal.
Here, let's just throw this in here, Mitch Holthus.
Lutz waiting for the snap. Laceman is down. Lutz's kick is blocked! It's blocked! It's blocked!
Yes!
The Chiefs blocked the kick! They're going to stay undefeated!
They had that game lost, and all of a sudden, Will Lutz misses. Well, he didn't miss a chip shot. It was blocked, which was great special teams play and amazing. For the Chiefs.
There's something about the Chiefs that you have to tip your cap to them, that they find ways to pull these out of the hat. But man, it makes me so mad. They are the worst undefeated team of all time halfway through the season.
They're probably still
going to win a Super Bowl.
Now, I don't know about that, but you know what? This does give you a cushion. Every team is going to lose games that they're not supposed to lose. Look, I don't think Houston should have probably lost that game to Detroit, even though Detroit's a really good team and a Super Bowl contender, but they had that game last night.
Did you see
night.
How many interceptions were thrown yesterday?
No. The whole league, you mean?
Seven total in the Lions-Texans game.
Oh.
Jared Goff
had
five interceptions.
Yeah, he had five in the first half,
Through two and a half quarters, there were seven interceptions thrown.
Yeah, that was bad. But we'll get Cusimano on that. We also have, the reason I wanted to bring it up, Matt Pauly from the KMOX site is going to join us, talk a little sports on this Veterans Day. And then Christina Strait with Strait Realty. This is totally off Realty, but she has a podcast about houses that might be haunted. And it's interesting to me because, honestly, Ethan, I had this house in South St. Louis, not too far from where Sue lives in Holly Hills. And the people that bought the house claim that they think they've heard things upstairs and that
really?
It's haunted. I never had any experience like that. So I don't rule these things out, but we'll get to all that. All right. On the administration front, I got so much to cover here. Let me see if I can keep things straight. The cabinet is taking shape. Lee Zeldin has just been named by former President Trump to be the head of the EPA. Elise Stefanik, congresswoman from New York, is going to be the UN ambassador. And then our friend Tom Homan. Tom has been a guest on this show many, many times in the last, in the last 8 years. He served under President Trump. He was the acting border director for a while. He's going to run the show now, and the left is losing their mind. Why? Well, because Tom Homan is going to deport people like President Trump promised, and a lot of us support that at this point. But look, they are losing their minds over this. Here's Scott Jennings on CNN talking about it, because they know that he's actually going to do the mission and sort of do what they said they were going to do.
Well, first of all, I think Mr. Homan is the exact right.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Choice, and I'm glad the president has moved on that so quickly because it was such a big part of his campaign. Number two, look, there's a whole bunch of people in this country that don't need to be here. In fact, there's, I think, 1.3 million people who've already received deportation orders from federal courts. They've already had due process. They need to leave. And so there's a good place to start. There's a whole other bunch of people who are here that we know have committed violent crimes, either where they were or since they've been here. They need to be sent away as well.
So he's right about that. Jennings is right about that. And this is where I'm going to see if I have a few minutes here to go over the a fair amount of confusion from some friends of mine from the weekend. I may have more time to do this in the 5 o'clock hour, but it's interesting because, and I mentioned this last week, and maybe I just have more friends that live in the liberal stratosphere, and that's possible because I have friends in entertainment. I have a lot of music-related, you know, music business friends.
You know a lot of people, Mark Rudin.
I know a lot of people, but I do have a fair amount of people that I know on what I would call the progressive left, and the reactions on the progressive left are really quite stunning. And, you know, let me give you a couple examples here. And this is, you know, I usually would say something along the lines of, well, this might be isolated. It's not isolated. I see it out there. I have examples of things that have been written to me, specifically to me, and I'll give you those maybe as the show moves along as well. But here's an example from the interwebs.
And people of color and poor people and gay people and all the people that I care about aren't going to be safe in America. Neither the f*** are you guys. Just because you won doesn't mean we don't remember who the f*** you voted for. You're not in the clear. And just please, please don't test your gangster on me, because
wow,
you will end on a stretcher. Gone. Forever.
Now, see, if someone on the right would have done that, they would have been arrested for threatening people. But she goes on here.
So serious. Nobody can talk to me unless you want to swing. If you want to fight, text me, call me, whatever. Anybody else, stay the out of my face. And if you voted for Trump, literally, please delete me, block me, get rid of everything of me, or step to me so that I know what's up and I can handle you how I see fit. Please just come forward. No, just tell me or leave, please. The door.
The door.
Mean, and I have so many examples of this. Again, some related to some messages that I've gotten. I was looking for this text message. I had someone yesterday. I can read this one here because I was actually just texting a friend of mine. This is a person who did not support Trump in any way, shape or form. But this is also a person that's not insane like some of the other people. And a friend of mine who's a big Steelers fan. How about the Steelers, by the way?
What a win.
Unbelievable.
What a win. Russell Wilson.
There's a guy who is friends of mine, and he's a Steeler fan. He said, my friend and Steeler buddy has a twin brother who is gay. Watching the Steeler game today, he showed me a text from his brother. The brother is disowning his entire family because they voted for Trump. And there you kind of have it in a nutshell. Now, do these things calm down eventually?
You hope so.
I don't know if they will, but we're going to keep talking about it here on a Veterans Day edition of the Mark Reardon Show. Yeah, this will be fun today with Sue off. We're going to hand off Sue's news to Ethan Hannifer, who is our relatively new producer. He took over for Abby a couple of months ago, so Ethan's going to do Sue's news. We have the mayor of Grafton, Mike Morrow, in the next hour. Details on the construction of the National Memorial of Military Ascent, which is really going to be amazing. And then along the lines of Veterans Day, Mark Sunlov is with us, who is the director of the Soldiers Memorial downtown. I'm sitting right across from the Soldiers Memorial on a beautiful, beautiful day in downtown St. Louis. Mark, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Boy, you could not have wished for better weather on this day, could you?
No, absolutely stunning. And yesterday as well, it's been just fantastic. Beautiful day for Veterans Day today.
Well, we did a parade yesterday in Florissant, 97.1 FM Talk did, and it was great. We had a great turnout in a lovely, lovely community. You got a lot going on over at Soldiers Memorial. So give us some details here this afternoon.
Yeah, so we did the annual parade. St. Louis parade was on Saturday, this kind of the traditional day. Which so unfortunately we did get the rain Saturday, but coming into today, you know, we have the museum and the memorial are open. We did a special ceremony this morning with the Alliance Française. This is the French alliance who. You know, over in the UK and Europe, they still remember this day as Remembrance Day and look back to World War One and the losses and sacrifices that were made there. So they come every year and do a wreath laying here at the memorial.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's very moving. You know, for in the U.S., Veterans Day has kind of changed from that original Armistice Day to incorporate all veterans who have served at all times and a little bit more celebratory. But for a lot of Europeans, it's still a day of almost like our Memorial Day where you're remembering those who you lost. And so they come each year and do that replaying, and it's a special day.
I love to hear that. And, you know, along those lines, let me just say this, that, you know, I was in Europe for the first time in a while about a year and a half ago. I went to Barcelona and to Madrid. I got to reunite with some friends from Valencia, Spain, that I'd visited with when I was 18 years old, way back when. And we got into a little bit of a discussion about not necessarily politics, but just the state of the globe a year and a half ago. And I came away with a very strong impression that some of my friends, at least in Spain, they may have had greater appreciation for the sacrifices that American soldiers have made over, you know, the course of history than maybe even some Americans. They had deep appreciation for, you know, the freedom that we afforded them. And I was rather touched and impressed by that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you bring up a great point, Mark. And, you know, I think that a lot of Americans don't really have that understanding or appreciation of just how thankful so many European nations are, certainly our allies of World War One and World War Two, but other places as well, where the American fighting soldier, has gone and fought in the name of democracy and helped people all across the globe. It happens, it begins with our really the story of our country, and it continues on to this day. So, so it's, you know, a lot of thankfulness and a lot of respect from those countries for what we've been able to do for them. And then in return, you know, their assistance to us as well. I think, you know, French or France being the classic example of how much assistance they lent the U.S. military during the Revolutionary War and helped us gain our original independence. These things are always meaningful. And November 11th now for 106 years has been this very special day for remembering the service of our military. So,
do you have special things that you would like to point to that people might be able to visit at Soldiers Memorial or anything along those lines, Mark?
Yeah, you bet. I think the thing that we have going on right now is it's called the Ghost Army, the Combat Con Artists of World War II. And this is a special exhibition that's here at Soldiers Memorial for the next 2 months. It's free to visit. But the Ghost Army story is, the way I phrase it is that I tell people it's the most fascinating story about World War II that you don't know yet or you haven't heard anything about yet. And it's the story of the U.S. Army using multiple techniques of deception to basically confuse the Germans as we were moving across France after the Normandy landing. So we after we had landed at Normandy, about a week later, the Ghost Army came in with 1,100 men who were serving in this unit that could effectively portray or deceive the Germans into thinking that they were two full-size divisions. So that's 1,100 men portraying up to 30,000 soldiers.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And just when you think, you know, I've studied a fair amount of World War One, World War Two history, and that's one I've never heard about before. And if I had, I think I'd forgotten about it.
Yeah, and it was classified up until 1996. So any, you know, older adult like myself, it just was never part of the curriculum.
Right.
You know, it's not a story because it was classified. And now that the more we learn about the Ghost Army, we really understand just how important they were to the war effort. A couple of notable things, as Patton had moved across France, he had opened up a gap in his line about 75 miles wide, and it was very precarious, to say the least. And so they put the Ghost Army in there, and mostly through sonic deception, were able to convince the Army that hole in the line didn't exist, that there was an actual fighting unit there. And so this exhibit, delves into the four styles of deception that they used, which were visual deception, sonic deception, which is sounds and things that you hear. Then they did a lot of what they called radio spoofing, which was, fake radio calls going over the airwaves. And then finally, their last style of deception, they called it special effects. And these were like very detailed things like wearing the correct patches, making sure that the bumper markings on their vehicles were representative of the units that they were trying to fool the Germans about. It's a great story.
That is unbelievable. And I'm looking up a little bit. I guess they were even recently, more recently awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor for that story, because I'm doing a little homework here as you're, you know, sharing the story. That is really amazing. And it looks like there have been maybe some movies that have sort of featured this storyline. But, man, you'd think that that would be a major Hollywood production to focus on something like that. What a cool story.
Yeah. There is an outstanding PBS documentary. It's a one-hour PBS documentary. It was produced and directed by a guy named Rick Beyer. And Rick is actually going to be here at Soldiers Memorial on November 24th. And there's probably not a better person in the country that knows this story better than Rick. He's been working on it for 20 years.
Well, Mark, I would love to, you know, I have limited time because I have another guest coming up, but I would love to be able to hook up with you and Rick when he's in town and talk a little bit more about this, because that is certainly something I'd be interested in highlighting. I got to get over and see the exhibit. And you're open today, right? We should let people know, obviously, on Veterans Day, the Soldiers Memorial is open if you want to visit.
You bet. Absolutely, Mark. I thank you so much for your time, and then hope folks can come out and take a visit.
I'm going to have Fred follow up with you, because I'm very interested in continuing the conversation. So Mark Sudlow from the Soldiers Memorial downtown, he's the director. Thanks again. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
Take care. On this Veterans Day. It's a beautiful day to come downtown St. Louis. Nobody's here. There's no traffic. Come visit Soldiers Memorial. We're going to visit with my friend Chris Smith, who was shot 3 years ago the night before Thanksgiving. An amazing story coming up next. By the way, I did bury the headline on something at the beginning of the show. I was kind of running down some of the new administration. Tom Homan on immigration. Lee Zeldin, former New York congressman, is going to head the EPA. Elise Stefanik, UN ambassador. And then Eric Schmidt, our senator, along with Senator Hawley, has taken his name out of the running for attorney general. And I think that's a good thing. You need someone like that in the Senate. He's only in his second year. He still has four more left in the United States Senate. He's going to shepherd through a lot of legislation for President Trump. So I think it's important that he stays there. That is a big relief. Plus, I won't lose him as a friend forever, because once you get to that level, I'll never see him again. So selfishly, I'm glad that Senator Schmidt is going to be here and representing Missouri. A couple of weeks ago on 48 Hours, there was an episode featuring my friend Chris Smith. It was called Fatal First Date.
The night before Thanksgiving, they decided just to meet up, go to the bar.
He lived 65 miles away in a really small farming community.
The bar that night was very busy. The place was packed wall to wall. Chris and Leslie were talking a lot, laughing, getting along with everyone around them.
She texted me around 10 and she said everything's going okay. She did then text a second text that said, I feel like something's a little bit off or something. I'm not sure what she meant.
Was that text the last time you heard from Leslie Reeves?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, Leslie Reeves was killed, essentially assassinated. Chris was shot. He was left for dead in his kitchen. And his recovery story has been something that I have focused in on quite a bit. The 48 Hours show only had a little bit of that because they focused on the crime itself. But Chris, who, by the way, is a United States Navy veteran, is with us this afternoon to talk a little bit more about his recovery and some of the other things going on. Chris Smith, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Now you're on the, I see you're on the speaking tour, right? You had a pretty cool gig on Friday. What went on there?
I spoke at the Missouri Brain Injury Conference at their annual conference, and spoke to, like, is it the professional panel, and I learned a lot. I love speaking, just like I love the camera and being on stage singing, but I need to slow down, especially because I only have one jaw muscle, but It was great.
You're really going to learn. I mean, look, it was kind of like your first official speaking gig, right? So you're going to get better at it, and you'll get kind of the feel of it. So I wouldn't be too hard on yourself. Before we get into a little bit more of that, let's recap the story, you know, because a lot of people listening right now maybe are familiar a little bit. Some people won't. But the way I always kind of start to share it, Chris, is because of the way that you used to call my radio show back in the day. And I think you reminded me this was probably around 2014 when you started calling. My producer, David Klein, would take your call, and he put your name up on my call screen as Chris in the Country. And I don't remember, was that something you said or was that something Klein did to you? I can't remember.
I think Klein gave it to me because I said, yeah, Dave, I'm Chris, I'm up in the country, and it kind of stuck that way.
I think he did say. So anyway, you started calling, and then for a couple of years, we would chat on the phone. We didn't know each other personally at that time. A month before the 2016 election, you called. You'd been telling me all summer, Mark, you're missing the signs. Trump's going to win. I was very right, and I said, Chris, if Trump wins, he's not going to win. There's no way. This is 2016. You can come into this studio. I was on KMOX, and you can shave my head. And I was panicked. When those election results, you know, last week we were talking about this because I remember being in the KMOX studio. Senator Lamping was with me and John Hancock and Mike Kelly. And Chris, as you remember, so just to make it all about me here, I was about to get inducted into the Parkway Hall of Fame. And all I could think about was, oh, my God, I'm going to be bald for that. This is going to be so embarrassing. But you call me the next day. You're the first caller, of course. And you say, dude, you don't have to shave your head. And I wiggle out of it very effectively, right?
Yeah, just like you're going to wiggle out of this one. We made a bet, do you not remember, recently when Trump declared again for this election?
Will you refresh my memory? Did I make a wager with you?
You did. Yeah, I bet you a head shave bet.
Again on Trump?
And you took it. Ask Sue.
No, I didn't take
that bet. Refresh your memory.
There's no way that I took that bet. There's not
you
a
did.
Chance.
You did because you said there's no way he's going to win again.
I did not say that there's no way he's going to win again. Now, did I place an ill-fated wager with you? I might have, but I was never insisting that he wasn't going to win again. I was hoping that all the experts were wrong. But, you know, you called and you let me out of that. We became friends. I said my first line at the time was, hey, let's go to a Cardinals game. And the listeners will not, you know, they will not let this go. They are angry at me to this day, and they justifiably should be angry because I weaseled out of the bet. But what happened was, is we did go to a Cardinals game. We started hanging out, and then we started texting. You lived up in Illinois, so it was a little harder. We didn't get together necessarily a lot, but we were talking on a regular basis. I remember 2 weeks before Thanksgiving 3 years ago, I remember you'd gone through a divorce. You were having a tough time, and we were trying to communicate, and I said something like, hey, I'll call you next week. And the next week was Thanksgiving week, and I didn't call you, and I feel bad about that to this day because Thanksgiving comes and goes. I'm up early on the Saturday before Thanksgiving, and my family's sleeping, and I notice, and I don't even check Messenger that much, but I noticed that your mother had sent me a messenger, you know, like a message on Messenger, Facebook Messenger.
Yep.
And she said, is this the Mark on the radio? This is Chris's mom, Chris Smith. He's been shot in the head. And my response was, wait, what? And she called me right away and then gave me all the details. And then I want to recap this as much as quickly as possible. So you go through your recovery, you're in a coma, and the third week of January, I get a call. I'm driving into work, and it was you. And I hung up on you at first because I didn't know who you were at the time. Your voice was all messed up. I didn't realize it was because you had a bunch of strokes, but I didn't even think I'd ever hear from you again. You call me. We shared tears on that phone call, and that's when you started this road to recovery, which is so important right now. But the story of the shooting is what was featured and your recovery in 48 hours, Chris, right?
Yes, it was. Yes.
And what was the reaction? We've talked a little bit around this, but I keep hearing more and more people. I've heard from several people around the country. A lot of people still watch that show, which is good. What's the reaction been?
A lot of people wish they spent more time on my recovery.
Yeah.
In other words, they
focused a lot on Leslie Reeves, who was killed, and we understand that. But yeah, you did not get.
A lot of people complain they spent too much time on that piece of dirt bag that shot me.
Bobby Tarr, I don't even like to mention his name, but yes, piece of human debris. But it did put you on the national stage, and there was, you know, a fair amount of attention. That might be leading to some of the, expanding your opportunities with speaking slots, etc. But look, part of the focus right now for you is getting your damn life back. One thing you said to me last week, I want to emphasize this because I think this is important. You got Jimmy Kimmel, who cannot even grow a pair, even a trans man can grow a pair, and he's crying on national TV about a political election. Your response to me was what? Put that into perspective and slap people up the side of the head, Chris.
Well, you know what? They need to rethink their lives because being shot in the head, I mean, he's a millionaire. He ain't got a care in the world, Mark. I mean,
Jimmy Kimmel, of course.
It's laughable that all these freaking stars are coming out and crying. I mean, Bruce Springsteen, your buddy, dude. Come on, man.
Well, I don't think he cried, but the point I was trying to make here is what you said was, look, you know, look what I'm going through with a brain injury. You want to talk about somebody that's really suffering. You got all these snowflakes out there that are acting like their lives have been taken away from them when they have the best country in the world with the most opportunities that they've ever had. So that's why seeing your story, I think, is pretty important.
Yeah, and he puts everything in perspective. Like I spoke today, they said overcoming adversity, and they said, well, I've learned to tie my shoe with one hand, but there's teeth involved. But you know what? You just got to keep going through it and trucking. I mean, you can do anything that you can put your mind to. That was my main message today. But I mean, it's like, yeah, for these rich people whining, trying to preach to me and watch me.
It's ridiculous. So you said something else last week in a text. You kind of got my attention. You said that the bullet, because you still have a fragment that's in your head, and you said that the bullet is acting as a semiconductor in your frontal lobe. Explain that a little bit.
Well, okay, you know how we're seeing the northern lights here?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't believe that's ever been recorded as being this far south. It's like in Florida in the southern 48. All right. It doesn't come this far south. Now, that's going to get like a little techie on you, and I'm not the smartest guy. Was a math and a science nerd, but I connected with a physicist from Rutgers University. His theory is that the geomagnetic storms do have effects on human beings, since they do have effects on animals, migratory birds, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Well, me having this bullet in my head, and when the sun is shooting out these CMEs, or coronal mass ejections, which gives us the northern lights, it's charged protons and electrons that are literally raining down on us. We can't see them, obviously, but they're all around us.
Okay.
Well, that's affecting the bullet in my head, because the bullets in my frontal lobe, our frontal lobes produce 25 watts of electricity, enough to light a light bulb, and it's using my bullet as a conductor, and it makes me tired, makes me nauseous, gives me headaches, and it's just it's really weird, dude. So this is great. You're gonna love this. So I have a silver-lined baseball hat. At least it's on foil.
Tin foil hat. There's you.
No, it's not. It's silver. It's silver, dude.
There's actually clothing.
Listen to me. There's a clothing company out there called Faraday. They make all this clothing for this crap. It's crazy. Who does the market for it?
That's very cool.
So, yeah, I wear a silver-lined baseball cap. I hate baseball caps, but, you know, I love my hair like you.
let's kind of talk about the rest of your recovery. You've been working your ass off trying to get the full use of your entire body. You've made unbelievable strides. You don't give up. Your mom knows that. Your family and your friends know how hard you've worked at this. But you also have opportunities for some things that are like outside of the realm of traditional medicine. And that's one reason you're up in Chicago, right?
Yes, I'm going for stem cell transplants. I'm going to be injected tomorrow on Tuesday with they're called MSCs, meniscal stem cells. What they do, they drill them out of my bone marrow.
Yeah.
And they process them, and then they inject them up vessels in my nasal cavity that are feeding my brain, and they have the ability to hop the blood-brain barrier. It's called the BBB. And they transfer them into neural cells and then go to my damaged brain area like a heat-seeking missile and start laying down new tracks. I like to call it like train tracks, but it's like new neural pathways and fibers and all that good stuff that's supposed to wake up my left side like brand new, dude. I'll be running like Forrest Gump.
And how much confidence, though, do we have in this?
Well, Mayo Clinic, Yale, and Stanford have proved it works, and I have been in contact with a patient that these people have treated, and she was 6 years out of a stroke, a lot worse off than I was, and she's back jogging on a treadmill.
Wow, that's amazing. So
I'm pretty damn confident, brother.
Not covered by insurance, though, right?
No. I had to take a bank loan off of this. Yep.
All right. I want to how much I want to help you out. And I wish I could write you a check for the full amount, but I'm a, you know, radio guy. I'm not a TV star like Jimmy Kimmel. But let's, you know, guide people in. There is a GoFundMe. There's probably people that are drawn to your story. They should be, because it's an amazing story. You can still watch 48 Hours on Paramount Plus if you want to find out a lot about this story. But if someone wants to donate to the GoFundMe, kind of guide them in.
I'd be forever grateful. Forever grateful.
Where do they go?
They go to, was a gunshot, shoot, Mark, I have to look at it. Hold on for a second. It is a...
All I did, I think, was just putting Google gunshot victim.
Crime victim shot in the head.
Right. And it comes right up. If you just put, you know, crime victim shot in the head in Google, I can do it again right now. I think it's the first thing that comes up because they probably do the geofencing. They know it's from here. Let's see. I'm going to try this again because it worked for me last week, Chris, and I want to see if it works now. Here we go. That didn't work as much. I wonder if you put your name in there.
It says crime victim who was shot in the head. Yes, Chris Smith. Christopher Smith.
Yeah. Well, it'll come up there. I see if you put Christopher Smith in there, people can. And if, by the way, if someone can't get to the GoFundMe and you want to donate to the GoFundMe, just email me here or hit me on Twitter and we'll make sure that we can get you to the proper location for that.
Or they could go to my website, ChrisSmithMotivatingYou.com. I have a link on there.
ChrisSmithMotivatingYou.com?
Yes.
Awesome. All right. Well, listen, you hang in there in Chicago. I know this has been a rough stretch, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but the whole 48 hours experience was arguably a little bit more emotionally draining than you anticipated. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it was. Like, especially seeing the refrigerator with all of my daughter's artwork on it that she had been making since she was in kindergarten. You know, one of those weird parents that I would rotate it, you know?
Yeah.
No, so I said artwork in the fridge, man. It's like,
did you ever, you know, when that was a crime scene, like, you never went back to that because you were in the hospital, so you never saw any of that until you saw it on 48 hours?
Correct. I have not seen anything up until 48 hours.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, dude. Well, hey, listen, you know I love you. I want you to hang in there, keep hope alive, and we're going to talk. Keep me posted. When you come back from Chicago, we're going to have you on again, okay?
Come on, man. You know that for a fact.
We'll see you soon.
All right, thanks, Mark.
That is Christopher Smith, and he is up in Chicago right now. He's going to get the stem cell treatment tomorrow, and I hope it goes well. Candidly, he has a lot of hopes pinned on this, and he believes it's going to work. I have no reason to believe it's not going to work, but, you know, these things sometimes don't. And the guy has been through so much, and he keeps trying, and he keeps fighting to get his life, you know, back on track. And we kind of touched on this just a little bit, and, you know, one of the themes a little bit later in the show is going to be the incessant whining by our friends on the left, who, by the way, still don't get what cost them the election. But you want to talk about, you know, trauma that you're going through, you little snowflakes. That guy's got a bullet fragment still stuck in his head right now and does not have the full use of his body, his legs, etc. Think about that for a little bit. We're coming back with Ethan's News in for Sue this afternoon. Fred and Sue off for Veterans Day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.